Learn Persian with Chayan Conversation, Hafiz's Payam-e Naseem, Part 6. Salam be hamigi. Hello and welcome to the very final lesson on our selection from the poem Payam-e Naseem by Hafiz. This is the last part we'll be learning from this poem, and after this, your goal is to memorize our selection, yes, the whole thing, and make a video of yourself reciting it in a beautiful location. We'll have a link on the show notes of this episode where you can upload your video and watch the selection from all the other Chayan Conversation members that have completed this wonderful task. So to start this lesson, we're going to listen to my Khale Farnaz recite the entire poem. You should be trying to recite it along with her. Remember, listening to the poem recited is one of the best ways to learn it. We've also included a link to Shajarian's beautiful rendition of it in classical music form for you to listen to as well on the show notes for this lesson. But for now, here's Farnaz.
ز کوی یار می آید نسیم باد نوروزی، از این باد ار مدد خواهی چراغ دل برافروزی. چو گل گر خردی داری خدا را صرف عشرت کن، که قارون را غلط ها داد سودای زراندوزی. به صحرا رو کن که از دامن غبار غم بیفشانی، به گلزار آی که از بلبل غزل گفتن بیاموزی. جدا شد یار شیرینت، کنون تنها نشین ای شمع، که حکم آسمان این است اگر سازی و گر سوزی. می دارم چو جان صافی و صوفی می کند عیبش، خدایا هیچ عاقل را مبادا بخت بد روزی.
Wonderful. And now we're on the very last lines of the poem. Now, I have to admit, these two lines, although they don't have difficult vocabulary, I do believe are pretty difficult to understand. I'm interested in the discussion that will come out of interpreting these lines and really understanding them. So here are our two lines.
می دارم چو جان صافی و صوفی می کند عیبش، خدایا هیچ عاقل را مبادا بخت بد روزی.
All right, so the first line says, می دارم چو جان صافی و صوفی می کند عیبش. So the word می comes up in classical Persian poetry so often. It means wine. So in classical Persian poetry, there are so many different layers and levels to things. We talked about symbolism in Persian poetry, how, for example, flowers have certain meanings and symbolize certain things. Wine is the same way. Generally, drunkenness is brought up so often. It can be taken in the literal sense, so being drunk, drinking wine, but it can also be taken in a spiritual sense, that the state of drunkenness is the state of losing oneself, losing one's ego, becoming closer to God. So in this case, also, mei doram. When we add e to the word, we are referring to a particular one of that thing. So mei doram, I have a wine. Doram is the first person conjugation for to have. I have a particular wine. Mei doram. Cho, as we hear before, means like. Cho. Then John Safi. The word John is something you hear often in Persian conversation, for instance, after someone's name. So someone could call me Leyla John. This means something along the lines of Leyla dear, but the word John literally means life or soul. John. Then Safi. This means a colander or something that purifies. Safi. So in Persian, the word saf means straight or pure. Saf. And a safi, like I said, could mean a colander, one of those kitchen tools that strains something and takes the impurities out. Safi. So mei doram cho jan safi. This means I have a wine that is like a purifier of the soul, So the wine that purifies the soul. می‌دارم چو جان صافی. Then او صوفی می‌کند عیبش. او, of course, means and. او. So this can be pronounced either as o or as va. Both are used often. Va. But in conversation, usually it's heard as o. So here we have o sufi mikonat ebash. So sufi is the same word as in English, a sufi, someone who practices Sufism, the mystical sect of Islam. Sufi. And I love that wordplay there. Safi and Sufi. Safi, a colander or a purifier, and then Sufi. So Sufi mikonad ebash. Mikonad is the present tense third person conjugation of to do. Mikonad. So does. Mikonad. And abe is the word for fault. Abe. Mikonad ebash literally means does fault with it. Does find fault with it. So the ash shows that the abe is referring to our subject, the may or the wine. So mikonad abash does find fault with it, the wine. Mikonad abash. So the Sufi complains about it, finds fault with it, says that it's wrong. Sufi mikonad abash. So the full sentence is, I have a wine that is like a purifier of my soul, and the Sufi deems it wrong. Mei daram chojan safi. O Sufi mikonad ebash. All right, and the last part is Khodaya hich aqil ra mabada bakht bad ruzi. Okay, so this last sentence begins as a plea. He goes, Khodaya. And the word Khoda by itself means God. Khoda. And Khodaya is basically saying, oh God, so calling out to God. Khodaya. So Iranians will often say this, as you can see, when they're exasperated, just like you would say in English, oh God, dear Lord, for example. Khodaya. Then hich aqil ra, so hich means none, hich. And aqil simply means wise, aqil. But it refers to a wise person, aqil. So hich aqil ra means no wise person. Ra is just a direct object marker, meaning we're talking about a particular person, not just any generic person. Hich aqil ra. And then mabada bakht. Mabada is a word that translates as lest in English, but it's a little complicated to translate. Like, how do you translate lest? It's like to prevent something, lest this happens. Mabada. And bakht means fortune or fate. Bakht. Another way bakht is said in current conversation is aqibat. Aqibat. I would also translate this as your future, your fate. So again, bakht. So lest he give the fortune. So he mustn't give the fortune. Mabada bakht. And finally, bad ruzi. Bad means the same thing as in English, bad. Bad. And ruzi means days. Ruzi. So mabada bakht bad ruzi means something along the lines of lest he have the fortune of bad days. So the full last line says, oh God, may no wise person be given the fortune of bad days. Now, Fadid in his translation in that first lesson that we had on this poem translated this last part as, oh God, all these enlightened ones, don't bestow upon them this misfortune of blindness. So in a way, he was insinuating that the aqil or wise in this phrase isn't really supposed to be taken literally, but rather kind of like a jab, like people who see themselves as enlightened. So in a way, this line is referring back to the Sufi of the last line, saying that this person who sees themselves as wise, but this person finds fault with something that is actually purifying. So God, don't give the wise person the misfortune of the bad days, of thinking they're enlightened, but being so wrong. So that's an interpretation, but I'm so curious to hear your thoughts after hearing this full selection. And there's so much to unpack in this poem, and I think that's the beauty of Hafez. It can be interpreted in so many ways and applied to so many different situations. And you might find yourself in a new situation, and all of a sudden, a line from Hafez comes to you, and you suddenly understand it in a new way. I think that's quite common. But with this, we've come to an end of our study of this poem. Now all that's left is for you to memorize it completely, recite it for us, and of course, share with us your thoughts. I can't wait to see your submissions. As you know, you can listen to this entire poem line by line as read by my Aunt Farnaz on the lesson page. We'll have all that linked to on the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on this beautiful journey with me. Until next time, and until our next beautiful poem, Khuda Hafiz from Layla.